is also here. There's Balakrishna, he's here. And it's a birthday today, right? And Rachel is here, she's in Sunday school. So we have two birthdays. And so we'll sing maybe after the service. And there may be some snacks downstairs. Is it on? Is it on? So Washington and Jansi have snacks. Bala, you can enjoy the snacks too. So downstairs it will be. And once again, the faith mission slip, remember, carry it with you, pray. Be hypnotized by it. So that your hand automatically goes and writes a figure. Please don't put zero before the number. So, and then drop it in the offering basket or leave it in the church office and believe God. When you hear by faith, God can do something. He's looking for faith so that he can be faithful towards it. So this is beautiful. Thank you for that message. What made an Indian come to Argentina? What made a man from the earth, the Chaldees, go to Canaan? Sarah. The guys in our church are a little late. Awesome time. Father, bless. There are some of our kids that are doing 10th and 12th this year. Pray for those exams, subconscious mind, dreams, mathematics, geography. Pray for them. Pray for the parents also. Just give grace in these families. But where we never miss a moment with you. In Jesus' name, amen. There are things here that, by the way, my specs broke. I'm using temporary things around the place. I have to get a new one. So there is the I am of God. Then there is the I will of God. There is the I must of God. And then there is the predicate of God, which is that God is. In Exodus 3:14, when Moses was on the Mount Sinai, he wanted to know who it was that sent him, and he asked God, what is your name? Remember that? And God said in such a few words, I am that I am. I am that I am. When they came to arrest Jesus in Gethsemane in the 18th chapter of John, in the 8th verse, and in the 37th verse, in the 8th verse, they came to the garden, John 18, and Jesus asked them, who is it that you are looking for? Are you awake? Yes. And they said, this is the person that we're looking for, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I am. The word he is not there. For English purposes, they write, I am he. It says in the Gospels, they fell backwards. They were confronted with the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But his glory was veiled in flesh. Nevertheless, when he said those words, I am, they fell backwards. When Jesus Christ was on his earthly mission, he was growing up from being a baby to teenage years to adolescent to a young man. And as was the custom, when they would go to the Feast of the Passover, he just stayed back a little bit because there was extension Bible school. Only in this case, he was questioning the scribes and the Pharisees there. And this is it. When they came back, his parents, Mary and Joseph, assuming that he would be with the other kids or the cousins, didn't worry too much about him. And then they realized after some time as they were proceeding that Jesus is not in their midst. and they went back and they asked him this question in chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, 47, 48, 49. But in 2:49 he answers, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be about the things concerning my father?" The word business is for the translation of the 20th century. "Don't you know that I must be about the things concerning my father?" There was a divine necessity that was placed upon Jesus Christ, his humanity, in his humanity. The necessity that was placed upon him in his humanity required him to be obedient unto his father. In order for him to be obedient unto his father, he needed to know the father. In order for him to be obedient to the father, he needed to abide in the father. So he brings you and I into this amazing place where he gets us to this place where he shows us the father in John chapter 14:9. And then he says, it's not just enough for you to abide, for you to see the father. I want you to abide in him. Can you imagine that? What a privilege we have today. See, pantheistic philosophy and teaching out there says God is in everything and everything is in God. So they worship a tree, and then later down the road, when they're building a road down the road, they have to remove the tree, and God goes out of the tree and he enters into the road according to them, and that's why they have to dig it up all the time. You know, you ask people questions, why do they really believe what they believe? So you have here the must, a divine necessity that has been placed upon us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, necessity has been placed upon me. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. There is a divine necessity upon a person to be born again. You must be born again, Nicodemus. The third thing is what God wills. I was meditating on some of the little booklets that I have in my devotionals. And here are some of the things. It's not going to take long. When Jesus Christ makes statements, you know, he makes statements. I am, correct? The Gospel of John. I am. Fill in the gap. I am. The I ams of John. But here, there's something beyond who he is. Here it is. It says, I will. He brings himself into the place where he draws people to himself. One is a expression of his character. The other is the drawing power that he exercises towards us in relationship to the character that he possesses. Now, remember when we, I don't know if we do it as adults, but when we were kids, we had magnets. Huh? Remember that? And then, you know, people, things used to move from under the desk in the classroom as the teacher is teaching. As she's telling us, you know, there's homework tomorrow, and we are like, and things are moving around. And imagine if you had some kind of a magnetic effect on someone's wallet. You know, it's like now you have everything with a chip, and anything can happen anywhere. You know, I'm just saying. But the drawing power. And I love the fact that when I look into these expressions of what Jesus Christ willed. I like what Felix said in his Hebrews 8, I will. Think of it. The last part is, and we will do the series on it. We start on New Year's Eve. Wisdom has its rooms, its seven pillars. The faithfulness of God, someone says it's like the rainbow that spans the expanse, and that is on these seven pillars, and these seven pillars are seven expressions of his faithfulness, which is so beautiful. First is in John 6:37. He who comes to me, Jesus said, in no wise will I cast him out? It is, what is it? It is the I will of salvation. God is making an offer through Jesus Christ. God is making an offer through Jesus Christ. The first pillar, I won't take long, I have just a few points here. So don't go to sleep on me. If you sleep, at least know, so we'll know. So the first expression is the I will of John 6:37. He who comes to me, there is, and no one can come to me unless the Father draw him, John 6:44. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit will convict in John chapter 16, verses 8, 9, 10, 11. He will convict the world in relationship to sin. Jesus Christ coming into this world brought the average person to a place where he's in trouble with God as a perfect man. Beyond giving the law, which people violate, Christ coming into the world as a perfect man and living before the Father in perfect obedience brought you and me into a place of tremendous severity, into a place of severity with God, because here is a representative man that was placed in conditions that are totally contrary to his nature and yet chose not to sin. The penalty of it is a subsequent effect. We could have all been condemned, not because of our sins only, and that is true, on the fact that there was one representative man that kept the whole law and did not sin. On the basis of that, we could have been sent into a damned eternity. But Jesus Christ came and decided that he would be damned in my place, in our place. First call, the I will of salvation, John 6:37. The second one is the I will of cleansing. Here's a man, he's a leper. He comes to Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 5, verse 13, and he says, Lord, will thou make me what? Clean. And Jesus says, yes. Cleansing. Leprosy, a symbol of sin in the Old Testament. Nobody was ever healed of leprosy apart from Miriam. And you have to know that, Naaman. Leprosy is symbolic of sin. And there was a leprosy offering in 13 and 14 of the book of Leviticus. And for cleansing of things that in case a person got it, was very clear. It was the closest representative in that sense. So you have number one, the I will of cleansing. I will of what? Jesus Christ says, you are dashed through the word I have spoken. The blood of Jesus Christ shall dash us from all sins. He who through his eternal spirit offered himself without spot and blemish to God, dash your conscience from dead works to cleanse. Cleansing. In the process of cleansing, you don't have the expression of the penalty taken away. In cleansing, you have guilt taken away. Someone said this, that the dark stained sin of the person who has been pardoned and cleansed is the cleansing is equivalent to the wing of an angel. The purity of it is that sin. Jesus Christ did not come to just pardon us. He was faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us. There is no stain there anymore after that pardon has happened. The third one is the I will of confession. In Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, listen, you don't have to do a lot. You just confess me before men, and I will confess your name before the Father in heaven. See, we don't have a profession to make. We have a confession to make. Profession is things I can say with my lips, but I don't have to follow through with them in my actions. Confession is I verbalize things with my lips, but I also am able to follow through with my action. Understand that? So, let us hold fast to our, not profession. Profession is lip communication. Confession. Follow through what I say with action. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to the cross 3 days and then I'll rise again. So when he was charged with those things at Gethsemane when he went there, he followed through on what he did say. He is the I will of what? So he said, if you confess me before men, I will what? Confess you before my Father in heaven. What an amazing testimony. Then it is the I will of service. You know, when God calls us, especially into places where we're not familiar with language, country, culture, all kinds of things, it is not what we think that we will do. It is about what God says, who He is. Let me say it again. And even though it might be that, about what I will do, it is about God saying about who He is. So in chapter 4 of the book of Matthew, when He's calling men to Himself, in 4:19, He said, follow me and I will, what? Make you? I will make you? So these men, it is impossible for them to try to be something that God can't make them to be. If the call is not there, they cannot make themselves what God has called them to be. You see, this is the situation that we are confronted with. Many times people look at something, they want to imitate it, they have ability, and they go on and they decide they can do it. No, but if the I will of service is not there from Jesus Christ, it won't happen. And then there are these disappointments, and you know, people strive because they want recognition, etc., in the call. And just imagine, Peter, follow me and I will make you a fisher. So from the first day Peter was called, Peter was impulsive. He always made sure that he was front of everybody else. Because Jesus said, I will make you. So he tried to maintain the making. And you know, in the initial years of popularity of ministry, when you are coming to a new place and everything's okay, fine, people are inviting you to everyone's house. Later on, you know that the people inviting you one day will also write a big letter about you. But you don't see that happening in the first 2-3 years of the ministry. Now in the first year, like, how beautiful, God answered our prayer, pastor came to this place, that is amazing. 10 years down the road, let's start sharpening the spears. See? Listen, God allows that to remind us that the I will of calling is Him. The I will of salvation is Him. The I will of cleansing is, you can go into any river in India. Some river you have to pay a lot of money to enter in. You can jump in, you can do whatever you want. Those sins. In Jeremiah 2, you wash with lye, soap, you do anything, it will never go away. Only the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. And the I will of confession. Don't worry about what others are going to think about what you're going to say. If you confess Christ to men, He will confess you before the Father. At the Bema seat of Jesus Christ, He will say to the Father, He will confess our name to the Father. He's confessing us right now in Hebrews 3, 1, 2, He's the high priest of our... think about it. So He's the I will of our... Then He's the I will of our comfort. You know, when He was going away to glory, He said, I will not leave you. The word there is what? Orphans. That's where we got the ministry. I will not leave you what? For I will send you the comforter. Sometimes we may not feel the immediate presence of Christ with us, but we must never deny the indwelling Spirit in us. It is the indwelling Spirit in us that reminds us of the Christ near us. You understand that? That is why the Spirit of course, God is in us, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Christ in us, Colossians 1:27. And the Spirit is in us, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Yes, but it is the Spirit in us that reminds us of the nearness of Christ to us, because it is the Holy Spirit that gives us the witness of who Christ is in our lives. Correct? So we have that. Then we have the I will of resurrection. Each one of us that is born again of His Spirit, of His Word, of His will. James 1:17 and 18. John 3:3-5, Titus 2:5, each one of us will be raised up in the future. It is the I will of what? Who is saying these words? My defense attorney? In a court of law, who's saying these words? Our Lord Jesus Christ, one that cannot lie, cannot change, is immutable in nature, one that is faithful. What does he say? That he is the I will of salvation. He gives unto you and me eternal life. We shall never perish. John 10, 20 and 29. I will of eternal life. Number two, the I will of cleansing. The I will of? You are clean through the word that I have. If he has spoken it, is it so? If I have sinned and God says to me, if I have confessed, you are forgiven. Is it so? So do I walk away from the situation as one that has guilt? No, guilt is legitimate if it's not confessed. The moment it's confessed, it is gone. And Satan tries to project guilt to us when it's confessed. That's called illegitimate guilt, so that you and I can enter into dead works as a Christian. The third one is the I will of what? Huh? Confession. We have an opportunity in this life to testify, not just with our words, but also with our life. Because at the same time, there is one that is confessing us before, bragging about us before the Father in heaven. He functions in a twofold capacity. He's pleading our case when we mess up, but he's bragging about us when we are representatives of the kingdom. What kind of confessions do we make? The I will of, follow me and I will make you. I wonder if Peter ever caught more than 3,000 fish in his life. But then on Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, there were 3,000 people that came to a saving knowledge of what? Jesus Christ. Quite a wilderness walk. The I will of resurrection, John 6:40, I will raise him up on the last day. Imagine not knowing where a person will be in eternity. What would you be like? I don't know, maybe. I know the dinosaurs are extinct, but maybe if I can become one. Yeah. The only objective reality for eternity is the Bible, nothing else. The whole abstraction of transmigration of souls and being one with the Nirvana and the Brahman and all these things is all abstract, and it's actually painful and scary. But when we know that we have a hope, you're going to rise again, it's amazing. Jesus Christ said, I will raise you up on that day. The I will of what? And the last one is the I will of glory. It says in the Bible, desire, but it's that. It's, I desire that where I am, you may also, what? What? Be. Think about that today. I will. I am the I will of salvation. Your salvation was planned by me. I am the I will of your cleansing. I am the fountain that will be opened for Israel in Zechariah 13:1, in that day. Nations will come to it. I am the I will of your confession. As a mediator, high priest before the Father, I am there to plead your case when you are frail, weak. But I'm also there to confess your name to the Father. I have influence up there for you. And if I ask the Father something for you, and you ask me in my name, and I will go to the Father because you ask the Father in my name, and whatsoever you ask, you will what? So don't take prayer for granted. Don't think, you know what, I've been in this situation for years, I'm in the rut. No. Jesus wants you to come to him to know that he is the I will of that, your confession. Then is he I will of what? If you have a call in your life and God has called you specifically, things might happen in the call, but faithful is he who called you, he will. There you go. Do it. Then he is the I will of comfort. In the most difficult moments, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul found himself isolated like David did. David's men wanted to stone him after he discipled them. He said, the Lord was with me and he encouraged me. I was not alone. Jesus said, even though all of you forsake me, I will never be forsaken, for my Father is with me. The I will of what? Of comfort. Many people get disappointed in life, as Vijay said, and they say, you know, you were not really there for me when it really mattered. God does not want us sometimes to have people there when it mattered, because God is the only one that matters, and thank God that people are there if they can. Recently, in some telephonic conversations here and there were people that were communicating. How I know? Telepathically. You know, I'm like, wait a minute. It is natural to speak that way, but it's spiritual to speak the other way. And God says, I want to take you from speaking naturally to speak. I want you to speak spiritually. I want you to make confessions that I can testify to before the Father. Think about this, practical Christianity. Then we have the I will of what? Resurrection. That we are going to have a glorified body, completely and totally restored. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22, 23, 24. And that we will be there with flesh and bones, without blood, in a glorified, deathless body for all eternity, with shining lights all over us. If you look at some lit house and say, oh, look at that, how beautiful it is. Look at what we will look like in Ephesians 2:7 for all eternity. And finally, the I will of what? Huh? I will of. Jesus did not want us to be in some outhouse somewhere in the dark corners of space, where he and his Father and the angels are all there, and then everyone is like out there just hoping and waiting to. No, he wants us to be where he. See, some celebrity might come and it could be a big event and he'll give you some tickets. And where are you? Somewhere on the fourth balcony, where you have to look at what is happening with binoculars. So much for that. But no. He says, Father, that they may behold my glory, that they may be where I am. Where I am. Imagine that. Wow. So John 7:17 in closing. He that is willing to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. What is it? He that is willing to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Illumination is the direct result of our obedience to God in those things that God has revealed to us. So the believer learns to go from light to more light. In Psalm 36:9, chapter 4, verse 17 of the book of Proverbs, the day begins to dawn him all the more. And nobody, let me tell you this, when things get dark in your life, and in my life, and our lives, that relationship that you have with God, that which relationship, wherein which he has willed these things for us, even though the life gets darker and darker, the illumination gets brighter and brighter. And that is what we have in this life as Christians. And it doesn't mean that things around us are not dark. But it means in Isaiah chapter 50 that in that darkness we don't produce light with our own fire. We have the light of the world with us in this situation. Father, we thank you. We preach the gospel, but we don't will people's salvation. You do it. The Holy Spirit bears witness. And these are things today that none of us could have imagined we could do to our lives. Peter could not have imagined being called outside of the realm of the educated class to be in a place where he can get up so eloquently and preach the message where 3,000 people actually come to a saving knowledge of your Son Jesus Christ. And maybe look at these verses, maybe look at the fact that you called us to salvation, you called us to confession, you called us to service, you called us to having comfort in times of difficulties, you've called us to glory, you've called us to resurrection, yes, you've called us to service. Thank you, God. Praise you. Worship you today. Bless the body of Christ. Thank you for bringing us here this Sunday morning. Pray for those that are maybe still out of station. Pray for the afflicted ones. We pray for Balakrishna and Rachel and the birthdays that are this week. If there are any more anniversaries, Father, we pray. Bless the body of Christ abundantly for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen.